From Delray Beach, Florida, welcome to Life Change Weekend with Dr. Dino Padrone. Hear the stories of individuals who, through their conversion experiences, books written, ministry served, special truths from Scripture, or trips taken, tell their story. These stories and teachings are life-changing. So thank you for joining us, and get set for some life change. Here is your host, Dr. Dino Padrone.
Welcome into our broadcast today. So glad you're listening to the weekend edition. Monday through Friday, we have a Bible study with you, and we trust that's a blessing. We've been going through some wonderful New Testament epistles recently. And then on weekends, we always bring in guests as we can and to share with us something about their lives. Many times it's a book somebody's written. Occasions it has to do with a singer. Many times it deals with a life that has been changed, because our program is called Life Change. DPM Ministries presents Life Change. So we're glad that you're listening into our program today. Go to our webpage, DinoPadroneMinistries.com, and you can learn there about all the things that we have, the books that are available. We also have about our online college there. We encourage you to go. It's a great joy today to have a man who's become a very good friend of mine. He and I, in fact, are neighbors right now. I guess for a while we're going to be neighbors. Yeah, I don't plan on going anywhere. But I'm so glad to have John Jenko with us. John is a wonderful man of God. He and his wife, Ruth, live just a few yards away from me, actually. And John has had quite a ministry. I guess it's okay to say your age on the program,
yeah,
John.
Yeah.
Is that all right? Just one time?
Anytime.
88 years old and 66 years married and 66 years in the ministry. I've often said this, and you've heard me say this before, but there are many times when we have young people that are kind of telling us how to live life and do certain things. And with all due respect to them, I know they bring much to the table, especially with new ideas. But I've always liked to go to the veterans and find out what it was like. And so we're going to do that today with John. John, just tell us, first of all, a little bit about your past and your ministry. Just take a few moments to kind of bring us up to date. The last program we did, you talked a lot about that. It was beautiful. Just give us a little update.
Well, glad to be with you again. It's a joy to share the Word of God. And I grew up in New York City, which was not the best place to grow up. But when I was young, it was better than it is now. And then God and His wise providence led me to marry the woman I am with for 66 years. And the ministry, the journey started in the moving of God on my spirit to become a pastor and to minister in the New England state of Vermont. Back then, it was the mission field, the darkest of them. God was far from them, and it's sad because right now it is as far away from God as it ever could be. The government and the people have gone far from where we started. Vermont was once a great state. God, three churches in every town. It's not that. But anyway, the Lord led us there, and I've spent 66 years preaching the gospel during that time, and God has blessed us, and I'm glad to share some of my history, I guess, with you as the Lord might lead. The issue that I want to talk about this morning would be marriage, because marriage is being threatened now, again, in the state of Vermont. Marriage, even your identity, your sexual identity is now up for grabs. And the whole issue seems to me that goes back to the Garden of Eden, where Satan said, you can be your own God. if you eat the fruit, if you disobey God, you become God. And no one will ever tell you again what to do and what not to do. And that's the case. That's where the battleground is. And it is very evident in our state. God is out of the picture. And you become your own God. And if you don't agree, then you are canceled and sidelined and persecuted and pushed out of the way. And that's where we are today. And so how do you live through all of that? How do you sustain a good, sound marriage in a state of affairs that doesn't even recognize the value of marriage, and where you can live with anyone at any time, male with male, female with female, and all of it is called good? We've gotten to the place where what Jesus said we would get to at the near the end of the age, and that is that right will be called wrong, and wrong will be called right. Light will be called darkness, and darkness will be called light. That's where we are. It's all upside down. Well, how do you live in a world such as that? What does the Bible have to say?
Yeah, you know, John, that's interesting thoughts. Now, you've been married 66 years. Mm-hmm. And I've met Ruth. She's a beautiful lady, a wonderful wife, obviously. You seem to have such a wonderful relationship with her. There are many listeners right now that are listening in. Some are newly married. Some have struggling right now with marriage. Help us out here. What are some of the things that are needed? What are some of those ingredients that we really need in our marriage?
Well, if you go to the book of Ephesians in the fifth chapter, beginning with the, I think it's the 21st verse, the key to a good marriage, I learned, and again, it's something we learn, is found in this verse that says, "And further, you will submit to one another out of reverence for Christ." Hmm. I would often ask those who come for counseling, premarital counseling, who's going to be the boss in this family? And the man would naturally say, well, I am. And the wife would say, the woman to be his wife would say, not so fast. And here begins the battleground. Who's in control? And again, it goes back to the Garden of Eden. Who's in control? Will you be in control? Will your husband be in control? Will God be in control? So you find that the first thing that you need to understand is, when I ask who's the boss, the answer needs to be neither of us. Because the scripture says, as I read to you, you submit to one another. Well, that's a mutual submission. And where there's a mutual submission, there is no boss. There becomes a oneness that says, we submit to each other. And that's where you begin in this called marriage. If you don't begin there, you start on a battleground. And you'll go through a battleground all of your life. You will rise up against each other. You will not walk in harmony. You will walk in a battlefield of who's in control. It's never a pleasant place. It usually ends up in divorce, in anger, and bitterness, and your family becomes a battleground. Nothing good comes of that. So the first thing I'd say you need to learn is that God is in control. This is God's world. You are God's children. His word to you is submit to one another. So there is no boss. It's a mutual understanding that we're in this together, and God will speak and guide us together as one. For the scripture does say, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and become one with his wife." Now, there's a lot that goes on in between that. After that recognition, how do you live out this teaching that there is no boss here except God? And so he addresses in that same chapter, he addresses the wives, "You wives will submit to your own husbands as you do to the Lord." Many a young lady looked at me cross-eyed when I said that and said, "You just said there is a mutual submission. Now you're reading to me, you wives will submit to your husbands as you do to the Lord." Well, start with the understanding, what does it mean to submit to your husband as you submit to the Lord? How do you submit to Jesus? How does the Bible call us to submit to the Lord? Totally. Submit with a willing heart that says, "I trust you." Submit in the fullness of what that means. You have to give your life completely to Christ. You have to trust him to save you, to love you, to support you, to be with you, to walk with you faithfully. All of this, to be your savior, you must trust him. Well, God is saying to the wife, submit to your husband as you do to the Lord. Not as you do to your boss, but as you do to the Lord. Now, you submit to your boss for whom you work until you don't like what he tells you to do, and then you quit. He doesn't tell you to do that. He says you submit as you submit to the Lord. And when you submit to the Lord, you submit fully. Body, mind, soul. You walk with him faithfully. But he doesn't stop there, because what God says to the wife, he will also have something to say to the husband. And he says to the husband, a husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the body, the church. He gave his life to be her savior. So as the church submits to Christ, so you wives must submit to your own husbands in everything, and you husbands must love your wives with the same love that Christ loved the church. Well, now the shoe's on the other foot. How did Christ love the church, husband? He died for her. He gave up his life for her. He took the punishment for her. He covered her. He just loved her more than he loved himself. So here's the balance. Wife, you submit to your husband in the same way as the church submits to Christ. And that's a total submission. It's a submission that leads her to praise him, to honor him, to sing his praise, to rejoice in him, to walk faithfully with him, to give herself to him in all sorts of circumstances. She gives herself. She belongs to him, and he knows that. And husband, you're to love your wife as Christ loved the church when he died for her. So here's the balance. There's no woman I know who wouldn't obey, follow, love the man whom she knows loves her more than he loves himself, whom she knows will never hurt her or strike her, but put his arms around her and comfort her and love her and lead her in all things and help her through the difficult. And when she falls, he'll pick her up. He will not stomp on her. He will not beat her, not if he loves her. Christ doesn't do that to us. He didn't condemn us. He came to save us. He came to love us. He came to lead us to the fullness of life. That's what a husband is supposed to do for his wife, and a wife is supposed to respond to him as the church responds to Christ.
That's really good advice, Pastor. You're listening into Life Change Weekend. This is Dino Pedro talking to you, and I'm with Pastor John Jenkel. John is a very good friend of mine, and has 66 years in the ministry and 66 years of marriage. And we're talking right now about marriage and those things that are important in marriage. If you would like to have information about our online college, simply go to Dino Pedro Ministries. com. That's DINOPEDRONE and then pluralministries.com, and go to our college page and you can get the information. You may want to enroll as a student. You may want to look at something perhaps that you can get involved with in taking a class. You may have questions. You can call us there, or if you want to consider maybe a faculty position and see what's available, you can do that as well. And maybe you want to think about a mentor position. We have mentors. Every student gets a mentor. spiritually and academically and also professionally. And that helps them immensely as they go through their journey with education. So just simply go to dinopedroministries.com, and you can go to the college page and go to the other page as well, where there's all kinds of information there for you. John, let me ask you this on the whole thing of marriage. A couple words that come to mind to me. One is the word tolerance. And the big issue with the gospel, of course, is that we are considered to be intolerant because we say Jesus is the only way, when that is true, of course. But there's another word that I think becomes a real stickler with people. And what you're saying here, I think, is very helpful. It's that word entitlement. There are things that you owe me and things that I have coming my way. And it's hard to get over that, I think, in marriage especially. But, you know, you go out, you work hard, and after a year, somebody evaluates you and says, well, you're not needed here anymore for whatever reason, and you feel somewhat entitled. And in 2 weeks, you're gone, and the money's gone, and now you go find something else. It's hard to get out of that mold. But in marriage, that's a special issue. What would you say to somebody who has a partner, and maybe they are the ones that struggles with entitlement?
It's not uncommon in the journey of a marriage that you come to stumbling stones within the marriage itself. Your expectation is not fulfilled. And when you have an unfulfilled expectation, you're discontented and you struggle. How do you get through that? How do we find a mindset that allows us to work our way through it without cashing out, without saying, I'm done, I'm out of here. It's not going the way I want it to go. God doesn't want me to be unhappy. Therefore, this must not be God. I quit, I'm on my way, I'll find someone else. We're living in a world that you know, is planned obsolescence. If it doesn't work, don't try to fix it anymore because it's not worth fixing. It's cheaper to buy a new one. And that has filtered itself into the human nature. And it's easier to just quit, go through the divorce, and find someone that might fit your desires and your understanding better. We're not compatible. Used to be you had to give a reason why you were going through divorce that was acceptable. And then they came to the point of saying, all you have to say is, we're incompatible. We just can't make it together. Not what we do. And that's okay. We understand that. You may leave. There's no reason to go on. But that's not the scriptural way. I mean, this whole concept of if it doesn't fit, get someone else. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. That concept of one flesh means you become braided together. The two become braided as a braid of your hair. There's strength in the braid, but you have to be interwoven into each other's life. And so there are these times when you come to the impasse, when you come to this where your own nature rises up and says, but I deserve better, or but he's wrong and I'm right, or she's wrong and I'm right and I'm not backing down. We've all been there. I mean, I have. And then you learn that, what do you really want? Do you want to be right, or do you want to have a happy home? Do you want to be right? And to be right, you must crush your wife, who will then be unhappy in the home. It doesn't help you. Doesn't help anybody. Yes, but I'm right. Maybe you are, maybe you're not. And maybe right has many sides to it. You may be right in thinking what you're thinking, but maybe you're not right in doing what you're doing. So you come to a point, at least I have, and Ruth will tell you this, because now she says this often, do I want to be right, or do I want to be happy? Do I want this to be a happy home, or do I want to be able to say, yes, but I'm right, as he walks out the door in anger and the marriage dissolves into a divorce?
Yeah, that is really a very good advice. I mean, when you think about it. We all like to be right. I've told this many, many times. I'm not going to do it now, but years ago, a good friend of mine, he and I spoke in prophecy conferences together, and we got into a real argument. I mean, it was over theology. Mm-hmm. I was right and he was wrong, you understand. That's how that works. And I don't even remember what the theology issue was. I have no idea today. But I told my wife about it, and she didn't seem to agree with me, and I felt kind of sad for her. You know, she's not getting it. Told a couple of friends. Nobody seems to agree with me. But I remember, John, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning one time, and that's what I was thinking about. And I thought, well, I hope he's awake at 3. Maybe he'll get this right. I had a couple more times, and it was like the Holy Spirit said, you better get right about this. The next time I saw him, we'd go out and speak in these conferences, and the next time I saw him, and he and I usually spoke at the same time of the week we were together, I said, I'm going to talk to you. His name was John. We went aside. Your name, John. And I sat in a room, and I said, oh, John, I'm really sorry. I was wrong. And he said, no. He said, it's been bothering me. I'm wrong. And I said, no, John, I'm wrong. And he said, no, I'm wrong. I said, we almost got an argument of who was right and wrong. But I remember when we hugged and got that over with, I never woke up at 3 o'clock in the morning again about that issue. It was over. Mm. And that's really what you're saying to us, John. Mm. It's beautiful, beautiful words. John, we have 2 minutes about left here. So share just a couple of concluding thoughts. I have questions here, but we want to, they're going to take us off anyhow. So.
Yeah, okay. Well, the one thing you always need to remember is marriage is hard work. I remember having married a couple, and a year later, she came back, and I was about to counsel someone else, and I said, what advice would you give me to tell this new couple, you've been married a year now, and her first thing out of her mouth was, you tell them that marriage is hard work. You're going to have to work to keep your marriage strong and healthy. It's not for the careless. It's not the selfish. It's hard work to become one. You're fusing two lives together that are different, and you need to recognize that, or you won't be a happy camper. So there's the advice, the final advice for this season, for this show.
Yeah, it's good advice. You've been listening into Life Change Weekend, and my good friend, Pastor John Jenkel, has been on with us talking about marriage. And it's great having somebody on that's been married 66 years. I mean, what a testimony that is for all of us to hear. And I want to say to all of you listening in today, on these weekend programs, we have discussions like this. It's a time to chat a little bit. It's a time to look at life and reflect. Monday through Friday, it's a Bible study that we have. We go right into the Word of God. Recently, we've been going through 1 and 2 Peter and a wonderful teaching that is there about what's happening in the world. Peter really opens up the inspired scriptures to us there. And then, of course, on Saturday, we have these weekend programs. If you'd like to get more information about our ministry, simply go to dinabedroministries.com or .org. You can find there the college that we have online. We call it a school without walls. And we'd love to have you consider being a student. Maybe you have an interest in what our faculty looks like for a potential conversation down the road or one of our mentorship roles. It's all right there. We'd love to have you at least look at it and get in touch with us. Thank you so much for listening into our program today. Again, let me remind you that Monday through Friday, we have our program, Life Change Today, which is the Monday through Friday Bible study. You join us. Have a wonderful week. And what we've heard today about marriage is life-changing. And well, let's all face it, we all need life change.
Listening to Life Change Weekend. Life Change is brought to you through the International Dino Padron Ministry, which includes radio, television, live stream programming, podcasts, literature, online education, the support of Indigenous ministries, and progressive approaches to help people grow their faith. To receive our complimentary monthly newsletter, send your postal or email address to dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. That's dinopadrone@gmail.com or dinopadroneministries.org. Stay tuned to our weekday Bible study, Monday through Friday. Thank you for joining us, and we'll be with you next week on Life Change Weekend.